And I want you to start with me again there in verse 17. You know, I'm going to talk about grace today. And, you know, the Scriptures tells us that we stand in grace. That's what He said. Just a second. Look at it there in verse 1 and 2, chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also, by the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access by faith into this grace we're in. We stand. We stand in grace. How in the world can you stand in grace? Well, you got to be shown grace first. You can't stand in something you don't ever know nothing about. But there in verse 17, let's get this a minute. For if by one man's sin, by that one offense, that's what he's talking about, one offense, offended against God, death reigned by that one sin, that one offense. But Paul always comes back and says this, much more, they which we've, now listen to this, one sin, death reigned by that one man, by that one offense, much more they which receive abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness shall reign, and that everything we have there is talked about a gift, by one, the Lord Jesus Christ. One man brought sin, but God, Christ brought an abundance of grace, and it was a gift. Righteousness, a gift. Therefore, in verse 18, therefore as by the one, by that offense, one offense, that sin of Adam, one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That means judgment and condemnation, the same word. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift, listen to this, came upon all men unto justification of life. Now I want you to understand there in verse 18 when it says all, the offense came upon all men to condemnation. And so these all men that came to condemnation are the same people, all men that come under justification of life. So these all in all are the same people. Now that means, beloved, that God brought judgment on us all who are in Christ and then gave us grace in Christ. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. This proves what I'm talking about. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. It's the same many. But here's what I want to deal with today. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace. I love that word. Oh, I love that word, grace. Grace. What a blessed, blessed, wonderful word. Beautiful word. It's a word that can only come from God. Only come from grace. All religions, world religions, don't know anything about grace. Mohammedism don't know nothing about grace. Roman Catholicism don't know nothing about grace. Buddhism don't know nothing about grace. Confucianism don't know nothing about grace. But I tell you what, grace, grace, grace. Grace is just a charming sound. And grace is a comprehensive word. Oh, what a comprehensive word. Here we have great contrast. In these verses we have sin abounding. Sin abounding. We have sin abounding. We have judgment because of sin. And then you turn around and you have life as a free gift. You have grace as a free gift. You have righteousness as a free gift. Sin reigning unto death. Death is working in all of us. Reigning unto death. But then grace also reigns. And it reigns unto an abundance. Unto abundance. And this grace raised through righteousness unto eternal life by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look there in verse 20, where it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Oh my. It says the offense abounded. The sin abounded. The sin against God. Offense. Offensiveness. All the things that was offensive to God. Grace did much more abound. Where sin abounded, the scripture's telling us here that grace completely overflowed that sin. Now listen to me. If you don't get nothing else I'll say today, let's get this right here. No matter how much sin is present, the grace of God that comes from God through Jesus Christ is immeasurable. Would you take a whole bucket of water and pour it on one match? That's what God does. He takes a whole bucket of water to put out one match. And that's the illustration showing us how much grace abounds. Whatever sin you've got, grace just overflows it and takes care of it. Oh my. I tell you, grace. You know, if you look at all the people in the scriptures, look at that. You know, talking about sin abounding and grace much more abounding. You take Mary Magdalene. It says in the scriptures that she had seven devils. Now that's, you know, I've known some mean women in my lifetime. My stepmother, she smoked so much that her lip was brown. She always lit one cigarette off the other. As long as I was that way around, she always did that. And she'd take a bottle of vodka and just turn it up and drink it like it's water. And she would fight a man. She'd just take on a man just quick as she would a woman. She's mean. I mean, junkyard dog mean. And I know some people that I think personally, some women that I personally think they got devils in them. But here's Mary Magdalene. She had seven devils. Do you realize how mean a woman is that has seven devils in her? What she act like? What does she look like? How did she act? How did she treat other people? Where did she live? All the things that she done all of her life. And our Lord Jesus Christ, after He manifested grace to her, you find her at His feet. You said she was the first one at the grave when Christ rose again from the dead. That's grace overflowing, what I'm talking about. Huh? And you take Zacchaeus. Here's a man that was a publican. He told the Lord Jesus, if I've taken anything by false accusation, which what he was saying was that I've been a thief, I've been taking money that I'm not taking, I'm going to give it back. If I took a dollar, I'm going to pay it back $4. That's what he said. Oh, you're talking about grace much more abounding. And then you take that's what I'm talking about. You take Saul of Tarsus. He spent his life being religious. Or his whole life he was religious. And then the Lord Jesus Christ came along. And he hated him with a passion. He said, I hate him and I hate all those who profess his name. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go everywhere I can and I'm going to arrest them. I'm going to put them in jail. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to wipe out that name of Jesus Christ. And then one day, grace came to him on the Damascus Road. Oh, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And then there's Simon Peter. The Lord said, I've got to go to Jerusalem, I've got to die. Go be betrayed. Peter said, Lord, I'll not only go to prison with you, if you've got to go to prison, but if you die, I'll go with you and I'll die with you. The next time you find him, he's warming his hands at the enemy's fire. The woman said, "You know, you sound just like a Galilean. Like I believe I saw you with him." No. You never saw me with him. I don't know that man. He did that three times. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Huh? Oh my. Those who nailed our Lord Jesus to the cross, our Lord said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh my. And let me tell you about a man you may not even heard of. His name was Manasseh. He was a king over Israel. And he was the wickedest king, him and Ahab, the two wickedest kings that ever lived. And he'd take his children and he would build a big fire to false gods, to Baal and the sun god and all the gods that he worshipped, and he'd burn his children on those altars, burn them alive. But God saved him. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And I tell you, beloved, sin is horrible, but where it abounds, grace superabounds, overflows. So let's look at grace. Let's look at some things about grace. I got 5 or 6 points. I don't know how many there are, but I'll get to every one of them. But I'll tell you what, you know what grace is? Grace is God acting freely. That's what it is. God acting freely. God acting according to the nature of His love. Now let me show you what I'm talking about. Look over in 1 John chapter 4. You know, our Lord, grace is God acting freely. There's nothing that makes God do what He does other than His own love, His own nature. His nature. Now you know, people talk about a God of love. God is love. He's not a God of love. He is love. He is love. But all He acts according to the nature of His love. Look what it says here in verse 8. 1 John 4, 8. He that loveth not, he don't know of it, that does not love, knoweth not God. For God is love. Now, he says, I want you to understand how God showed us how much He loved us. He said, I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us. Toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. Into a wicked world, a sinful world, a dark world. A God-hating, a Christ-rejecting world. But here's what He said, that we might live through Him. And He said, oh my, I'm going to just let you know a little bit more about it. Here it is, love. Not that we loved God. We didn't do that. But that He loved us. And what did He do? He sent His Son. And that word propitiation means to take away the wrath of God from us. Oh, that's love, ain't it? Huh? Love must be manifested. It must be acted out. And this God is love. He has to show His love. It must be manifested. Must be acted out. And God acts out His love toward us by giving us grace and giving it freely. Now let me tell you something about us. We're not free to love. We're not free to love whom He will. We're not free to love whom we will. We can't do that. We don't have that ability. We just don't have that ability. But God is. He's free to love who He will. Huh? And I tell you, we can't love just the way everybody the way we just can't do it. But God can. So if God loves anyone, it's an act of the grace of God given freely. Oh, and I'll tell you something else about grace. Grace is God loving people, His people. Because He manifested His love toward us. Loved His people as individuals. Every one of us. He saved every one of us individually. Even that 3,000 that was saved that day, he saved every one of them. Every one of those became sinners by themselves. All of them didn't become sinners collectively. When that Peter was preaching, he said, he's preaching to me. My heart was pricked. My soul was pricked. I became a sinner. And I tell you what, grace is loving God, His people as individuals, and listen to this, without any promises or obligations to fulfill from us. For us, not ask us to do a thing. Not ask us to do a thing. He gives us grace righteously. What does that mean? In view of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, sin is put away so God can righteously show us His grace. And I tell you what, the cross was an act of sovereign grace. And man certainly didn't deserve that. Second thing about grace, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace is uncaused in the recipient. The one who receives grace, it's uncaused. You know where its cause starts at? Holy, solely, in the giver, God Almighty. Look over in Ephesians 1. Look in Ephesians 1. The cause lies solely in the giver, in God Almighty. Lies solely in the giver, in Christ, in God. Look what he said here. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly things, in heavenly purposes in Christ. Now listen to this. According as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world. You know when God showed you grace and gave you grace and loved you for the foundation. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. And listen to this, that we should be holy. Holy. Not something we're going to be when we get to heaven. It's something we are right now, that we should be holy. And listen to this, and without blame. Now how can you be without blame if it wasn't for the grace of God? And having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to the, listen to this, to the good pleasure of His will. And here's why He did it. To the praise of the glory of His grace wherein He made us accepted in the Beloved. You know, for if you look for a cause of God's grace in yourself, you won't find it. You won't find it. If you look for a cause of God's grace in yourself, you won't find it. That's what makes grace so amazing. So amazing. It's free. It comes from God to man as they are. Not like they want to be, not like they think they are, not like they hope they are, not like they believe they are. It comes from God to men as they are and overflows, superabounds over their sins. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. What is it? It's the gift of God. Tell you another thing about grace. Grace is sovereign. What do I mean by that? Grace reigns, really reigns. You know, God has no debts to pay. God has no debts to pay. Look in Romans chapter 4 with me just for a minute here. Grace is sovereign. God has no debts to pay. Look what is said here in verse Romans 4:4. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned or counted as grace, but a debt. If you're working to get God to give you grace, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. Huh? God has no debts to pay. No conditions on man's part to wait on. He's not waiting on us to do anything. Grace doesn't wait till somebody becomes worthy before God gives it. He's not waiting for someone to do some act so He can show them some grace. You know, the only wages that God pays is the wages of sin. And He's going to make sure everybody gets exactly the wages that's coming to them. That's the only wages that He's going to pay. Huh? And I tell you that grace cannot act, or grace can act, excuse me, grace can act toward whom it will, when it will, and where it pleases Him. Whether you're in a road, out on the road, whether you're in a church house, whether you're in a prison, or whether you're in a palace, whether you're up a tree, or you're like that thief that was beside the Lord Jesus Christ when He was on that cross, and Christ said, looked at him and said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That's grace. He showed it when He would, to whom He would, and where He would. And let me ask you something. Do you think God owes anybody grace? Is anybody doing anything to deserve grace? There was, in the scriptures, there was this ruler, this centurion. He said, he asked some Jews, said, "Go tell the Lord, please," said, "I got a servant that's dying. And you go, please, tell him for me, will you?" So those Jews, they went to the Lord Jesus Christ and they said to him, said, "Listen, this man, this centurion, to whom we tell you about, his servant lies nigh unto death. Said, he's worthy." That's what they told the Lord. Said, "He's worthy. Said, he does lots of things for our nation. He even built us a synagogue. He built us a place to worship in." Well, the Lord Jesus said, "Well, I'll come." He started toward that man's house. And he sent somebody out there and said, "Tell the Lord that I'm not worthy." They said, "He is worthy." You know what he said? "I'm not worthy that you should even come under my roof. All you've got to do is send your word. Send your word. Because I'm a man, and I tell somebody to go here, and he goes. I'm a military man. I tell somebody to go somewhere and do something, they go and they do it, and I say, come here, and they come." He said, "If I'm like that, just imagine what you can do. All you've got to do is speak your word." And I said all that to say this, that no matter what anybody says about somebody else, God says they're not worthy. And everybody here will say, "I'm not worthy." Huh? Oh my. It can place the very worst in the highest places. Huh? It can bypass a multitude and save one. Our Lord, the scriptures tells us that He must needs go through Samaria. Why? He had one sheep over there. One woman that was she is a real sinner. If we had a woman like that in our congregation that had been married five times and was just living with a man, what would you think of her? Is she never repented and God never done something for her? Well, that's what this woman was. The Lord Jesus was tired with His journey, sit down on the well. And here comes this woman with a pot. She's going to get her some water. The Lord Jesus said, "Give me the drink." "Why, you're a Jew and I'm Samaritan. We don't have nothing to do with one another." Said, "Go call your husband." "I ain't got a husband." Our Lord said, "You've had five of them. You think God don't know what we are? What we're doing? You've had five of them. And you're just shacked up with one right now." That's what He said. He said, "You're just living with one right now." She said, "You think she deserved grace?" But she got it. But she got it. Huh? Oh my. That eunuch on the road to Ethiopia. "Philip, go join yourself to that man." Who's this man writing about? I don't know who he's writing about. He said, he started right there, he started talking about Christ. God opened his heart. Lydia, seller of Perga. She lived in one place and went to visit someplace else. And when she was down there on that riverside, there's a man preaching down there by the river. Well, that's a good, God opened the door for him. He said, there's a bunch of people there, and he started preaching. And there said an old woman, wealthy woman. And you know what God did? Opened her heart. Opened her heart. Grace, grace, grace. And then he could save 3,000 at one time. 3,000 at one time. And grace cannot act. Grace cannot come where there is ability. If you got any ability, God ain't going to show you grace. It ain't coming. If you got any ability whatsoever, if you can do anything for yourself whatsoever, if you can commend yourself to God in any way, if you got any ability, and I tell you something else grace doesn't do. It doesn't cooperate. It don't need your help. It don't want your help. It don't ask for your help. It don't ask for you to do anything. Grace doesn't just help people and give them a shove in the right direction. It's absolute. It does everything, all or nothing, from start to finish. It don't ask nothing from nobody. Nothing. Nothing. And since there's no cause of grace in us, there's no cause in us why God should show grace to us, but then don't even try to give yourself or look for a cause for His grace, because there ain't no cause. You can't never find a cause. You can't find a cause. And you know, grace is what makes us to be sinners. And God gave me grace because. There ain't never a because. Never a because. God don't give grace because. There's never a because. Never. If there ever is, it ceases to be grace. You know, Paul told the Galatians, said, you know, you've fallen from grace. What did he mean? How do you fall from grace? You know, Armenians believe you can fall from grace. People believe you can lose grace. You can send grace away. But he says, you know, that you've fallen from grace. You know what all it takes to just fall from grace? Just that one thing of yourself in salvation, and you've fallen from grace. Just add one thing. Say, God saved me because I did this or I did that. And then you go along and say, well, I'm saved by grace, but I think God saved me by grace, and yet I'm going to go ahead and do this. No, no, you can't do that. Fallen from grace, you add anything to grace, take anything away from grace, look for a cause in yourself, a cause in somebody else, and you fell from grace. Don't have to do anything to fall from grace. Just try to find a reason for God saving you other than Christ and His grace. That's all it takes. And let me tell you something else about grace. Grace produces humility. It really does. When it first comes to us, we're not too humble now. But when grace first comes to us, it produces real, genuine humility. The grace of God that comes teaches us. Grace teaches us some things. And when God makes us to understand that we're the objects of His free and sovereign grace, it humbles us like we've never been humbled before. And I tell you something else, it keeps working in us and working in us and working in us to keep us down, 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 down. But when you get up, grace is going to bring you down. Bruce Crabtree told a young preacher, he said, stay down. Don't never think more of yourself than you are. Don't never look to yourself for your preacher. Don't think more of yourself than you are.
You know what? He never paid a bit of attention to Bruce Crabtree. Not a bit. He's still so full of himself. And he's still full of himself. Still full of himself.
But oh my. And I often wonder, now I'm going to confess something to you. I often wonder, and I told a fellow the other day, he said, I don't know why in the world I preach. I don't even know why I make an effort. Don't know why I do. Because I just ain't got nothing going for me. Except grace. That's the only thing I got going for me is grace. I'm the sorriest preacher, and God knows that. God knows that. I'm not trying to put on a false humility here. God knows that. But God, keep us down. Keep us down. And why does He bring us down to such humility? Because He makes us to know how absolutely, entirely, completely, how unworthy we really, really are. David said, I'm not worthy of the least of your tender mercies. Not worthy of the least of them. God spoke to Abraham. He said, Lord, why are you speaking to me? I'm just dust and I'm just ashes. God spoke to Isaiah and he said, woe is me. I'm around all these people. I've been in the king's court. I've been sitting around with the kings of Hezekiah and Uzziah. And then he said, oh, the Lord spoke to me. And you know what he said? I am absolutely undone. I am undone. Entirely undone. Oh, my. Were we worth our Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world? Were we worth that? Were we worth our Lord Jesus coming here and being despised and rejected of men? Were we worthy of His horrible, horrible treatment at the hands of sinful, sinful men? And I'll tell you something. If I'd have been there, I'd have done exactly what they did. I'd have been no different. Huh? Were we worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ hanging on a cross? Bleeding? Broken? Bruised? Crown of thorns on His head? Blood pouring out of His body? And there, knowing, understanding that He was bearing our sins there on that cross? That God was punishing Him? Judging Him? Were we worthy of that? Were we worthy of His blood being shed on the way to death? Of Him crying, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Oh, we're brought to know our complete inability to become worthy. One thing about believers, they get worse as time goes on. They get worse in their own eyes as time goes on. As time goes on. We're brought to know our complete inability to become worthy. Yet, beloved, we find ourselves blessed on another principle. Grace, 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 grace. Ain't that right? Grace, grace. And let me tell you the last thing about grace. The flesh has no place in the purpose of God's grace. It has no purpose. Look over here in Romans 8. Look down at verse 7. The flesh. And the flesh means our old nature. What this body can produce, the flesh has no place in the purpose of God's sovereign grace. Look what he said. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Huh? Oh my. Why not? Look back up here in Romans 7:15. Oh my. For that which I do, I allow not, or I know not. For what I would, that I do not. What I would do, I don't. But what I hate, I do. I do. Now it is no more I that do it, but what? But now that it's no, verse 17, for no more is no more I that do it, but what causing this? What causes me to do the things that I wouldn't and do the things that I love, not do the things that I love and do the things that I hate? It's sin in me. Sin in me. Sin in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now listen to this. The will is present with me. Every one of us this morning has got the will is present with us. The will to worship God, the will to love God, the will to obey God, the will to honor God, the will never to sin again. The will is present with us. Right now, the will. The will to be done with this flesh. The will to say, oh God, don't never let me sin. Oh God, keep me from myself. The will is present with us. But listen to this. But how in the world are we performing it right now? How are we performing it right now? Huh? Oh my. He told the Galatians, he said, oh foolish Galatians. You began in the Spirit. And now you're going to go back to the flesh and try to make yourself better by your flesh? Who bewitched you to cause you to do that? Huh? God told Isaiah, said, go cry. Why do you want me to cry? All flesh is grass. Just grass. When you look out on your yard, I mean, you say, boy, I got a nice yard. But it's still grass. And he said, but oh, listen, I want all flesh is grass. And that grass withers, and that flower fades away. But he said, I want you to do something else. Not only would you understand all flesh is grass, but he said, say unto Zion, thy God reigneth, all flesh is grass. And he said, then turned around and says, behold your God. That's when God looks at us and they said, grass! Then he turned around and said, but look at you, God. You're grass, but I'm God. You're my grass, but I'm God. You're a flower and you're fading away, but I'm your God. I'm your God. I'm your God. And that's why the natural man, I don't care who he is, the natural man, no matter how religious he is, he hates grace. Because it does not allow for room boasting. Grace will not allow you to boast. Because the flesh cannot contribute anything. They just can't do it. And that's why we rejoice in God's grace. There's no good thing in me, but yet God. No good thing in my flesh, yet God. God loves me, blesses me, as we are right now. And as we'll be tonight, and as we'll be tomorrow, and as we'll be every day of our life till He takes us home. Grace, grace, grace. Loves me and blesses me. How? I rejoice in what it was given to me. How did God give me grace? God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world ever began. Huh? Oh my. Sin abounded, He said. Well, it did. Grace did much more abound. Grace reigns through God's righteousness, reigns through the death and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't manifest capriciously or arbitrarily. His grace is given us in Christ from before the foundation of the world. How are you saved? Grace. How do you stand? Grace. How were you in the glory? Grace. How will you do it? Grace, grace, grace. Huh? Well, Paul said, well, since grace may abound, I tell you what, let's tell you what all of us do. Let's just leave here today and go and eat, drink, and be merry and have us a big, big old party. Act like God's grace going to abound because we live such miserable lives. God forbid. How could we do that? How can we do that?